Pool Parts presents Preps Rewind on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Daniel Allemann.
Welcome to Preps Rewind right here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Coming to you live from the LO Fiber Studios. I'm your host, Coach Daniel Allemann. I want to welcome you to text us on Preps Line at 888-530-0043. I would love to hear from you. We have a great show for you today. In our first segment, we're going to catch you up on some Preps news and scores in and around Northern Colorado. And then in our second segment, we're going to be joined in studio, who's sitting across from me right now, is central diver Everett Mash.
Yes.
Like MASH, like the movie MASH. Perfect. He's sitting, welcome, man. Welcome to our show. I'm glad you're here. And then in our second segment, he's going to be joining us. Then in our Gould Parts Hotline is Eaton Reds baseball player, junior Mitch Haythorne. He's a vital piece of that puzzle to the two-time defending state champions. Could we see a three-peat? It definitely looks that way. And then sitting to my right here, joining me in studio is a good friend of mine, Coach Carter Williams. Carter, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, Dan. How are you doing,
man,
buddy?
A former Red. He's now an assistant coach at Northridge High School. He is a, as Gary Schimmel would say, you're an amazing American, man. You have a great testimony, and I'm excited to hear from you, okay?
Thanks.
So thank you for being here, buddy. Thanks to our great sponsor, Gould Parts. Any parts you need in beautiful Eaton, Colorado, Gould Parts will find it. Gould Parts is a quality source for all Napa parts. Anything you need is just one phone number away, 970-454-3355. Make sure to save that number in that digit on your mobile phone. We used to say, write that digit and stick it on your fridge, right? But we don't say that anymore because we have cell phones now, so we can't say that. Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. As Coach Grable would say, let's run, let's run. In Class 1A, Haxton is still holding on to that one spot with a record of 15-1 overall, 8-1 in league play, followed by Marino, which has a big game today against Lyman. Number 3, Akron, losing to a feisty Burlington team 2-7 last night. Let's see if Burlington can keep that momentum going when they meet number 4, Holly, today. First pitch at 2 p.m., and then Simla rounding out the top 5 in 1A. This is going to be a fun class to watch down the stretch. Do you follow a lot of baseball there, Carter?
I follow it. I don't, I haven't been to a game in a couple of years.
So right.
We do a lot of spring football stuff.
A lot of off-season stuff. Man,
yeah,
I'll tell you what.
Oh, sorry. I mostly catch playoff games.
Perfect, perfect. That 1A division, that's the one to watch. Let's move on to 2A. Peyton holds the top seed in 2A with a 14-0 record. They beat up on Ellicott team 11-1 on Thursday, and then they traveled to Colorado Springs Christian on Tuesday. They look like they're a team to beat in the 2A. Then Lyman is ranked number 2, followed by Denver Christian, and then Buena Vista and Holyoke. In Class 3, my boys, Eaton, still hold the top spot, and they are favored to win another title this year. Eaton traveled to Strasburg on Thursday and easily put the Indians to bed with a 13-0 win. Then they traveled to Wellington on Monday and then back at home Tuesday against Brush. We will be joined today by Eaton Reds ace Mitch Haythorne later on in the segment. Can't wait to talk to him. Number 2 in 3A's University Bulldogs, who, if they put the pieces together, could give Eaton some trouble. And that's always been kind of Eaton nemesis is UH.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Perfect, man. UH beat Wellington 10-0 on Wednesday, and then they play Brush today. First pitch at 11 a.m. in Brush. We could possibly see a repeat of last year's championship game. I sure hope so. Coleridge, Bayfield, and then Faith Christian round out the top 5 in 3A. And then this right here, the 3A division, I think down the stretch is going to be a fun one to watch. But, man, I just see Eaton pulling away from the whole crew on that 3A. I mean, Eaton's favored to win. In other news, 9 News reports, Broomfield police told now former Broomfield High School football coach his pattern of behavior was alarming and his relationships with students appear to be grooming, but did not find probable cause for criminal charges, a police report revealed. State championship winning coach Blair Hubbard, 54, resigned earlier this month after reviewing the Boulder Valley School District's internal investigation into allegations inappropriate communications with female students. The report said he told investigators Blair frequently talks about having personal character and holding higher standards. This allegation does not match Blair's character. It's pretty serious and it's concerning, said Casey Bollinger, the lead advocate for the Blue Bench, an organization that helps survivors of sexual assault. She said the conversion about fake IDs or the conversation about fake IDs could fit the definition of grooming, and they may look into like secret keeping or building up trust so that you can continue to push boundaries more and more without the individual understanding that's what's going on, Bellinger said. A spokesman for the Boulder Valley School District offered no additional comment on Monday. A copy of Hubbard's separation agreement, also obtained by 9 News, banned him from applying to jobs within the district in the future and said he could provide a draft letter to Broomfield football community for district's review and distribution if he wished to. In exchange for the agreement stipulated that he could receive payment for the remainder of the school year plus an additional final payment of the contract for a total of $32,184. Hubbard had been on leave since the investigation began December 15th, less than 2 weeks after he led Broomfield High School football team to win the Class 4A state championship. What a huge development. I wish him the best, but man, if he was doing that, sayonara. We don't need that in our world.
Yeah, absolutely. I no sympathy for people like that. I mean, I don't know the details of the story, but no sympathy for.
I agree. The 2023 Class 3A girls tennis team state tournament started on Wednesday. Number 1 Holy Family beat Colorado Springs School 7-0 to advance. Number 2 Colorado Academy advances with 7-0 victory over Resurrection Christian. And then number 3 Dievlin advances as well, beating University 7-0. Number 4 Peak to Peak moves on to the next round, winning 7-0 against Berthoud. And number 5 Vale Christian survives and advances to the next round after beating Lutheran 5-2. We had a couple of upsets in the first round. Number 1 Steamboat beat number 7 Northfield, and number 11 Eaton beat number 6 the Vanguard School 5-2 to advance. Eaton is squaring up against number 3 Dievlin as we speak right now. The finals of this tournament will be held at Denver City Park. Preps Rewind prays blessing over all the athletes competing today. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Greeley Central diver Everett Mash. I am Coach Daniel Allman. This is Preps Rewind, live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to Preps Rewind, brought to you by Gould Parts, located in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't forget to text me on the Preps text line at 888-530-0043. Thank you for joining us today. Let's keep this momentum going. Joining us in studio is Greeley Central student and Greeley West diver Everett Mash. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Perfect, man. Thanks for coming on this morning. Tell us a little bit about Everett.
So my name's Everett Mash. I'm a freshman at Greeley Central. I've been an athlete my entire life, and my main sports are tennis and diving.
Perfect. And how long have you been diving?
I've been diving, this is like my second year-ish. Perfect. I started eighth grade year, but I broke my collarbone mid-season, and so didn't get to finish.
On a dive?
I broke it skateboarding, actually.
Oh, okay. More skateboarding. Yeah. You have to put some bubble wrap on them, Mom. Mom's in studio here. Natalie, right? Natalie's in here joining us. So thank you for coming, guys. I really appreciate
course.
It. I've heard some good things about you, and I know your uncle has been talking mad about you and wanted to get you in studio, and I figured, man, let's get it. I think getting into that realm of diving and all those sports that we don't normally cover, I think, is amazing, and I definitely love for you. And thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. For those of us that are not swimming novices, right? Mike, I came up with that word. Swimming novices.
Right.
How do officials score a dive?
So you score out of from 1 to 10. There's some specific rules. Like if you don't come out of your tuck or your pike, you have to get a 2 or something. But basically it's based on how big your splash was, your form, and your like technique-ish kind of. And then each dive has a difficulty level based on how hard it is. And then you add up the judge's scores, multiply it by the difficulty level, and then that's what you get for that dive.
Perfect. Perfect explanation.
So
what are some of the hardest dives to get the most points?
My hardest dive that I like don't score super high on is an inward double. So it's a double front flip, but you come off the board backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's hard to spot the water. So when you kick out, you have to kick out fully, so you're standing all the way up. And so I can't really see
so
the water.
Like
so it's
on in air
right.
as you kick out away from the board.
Right. So you do a double front flip, then you have to like kick out and land on your feet, but you can't really see because you're flipping forward.
Right.
I don't know. So that one's hard for me. But more like back flips or when I'm doing a front flip but I'm going into a dive, mm-hmm. those are easier for me. I usually score higher on those.
How did you realize you could dive? Like you just got on a board and just like started diving, started loving it.
Yeah. So ever since I was a little kid, I'd do like flips on the trampoline and mm-hmm. stuff. And then I started doing them off like the diving board at my pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, all right, I guess I'll just try this.
And is it a springboard?
Yeah, it's a springboard.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of those, they have platform divers as well? Do they have that in high school as well?
Not in high school.
Not
so
high school,
for high school, for actually diving for your school, it's a 1 meter board.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 3 feet off the ground.
Okay.
Then if you do club, then you do 1 meter and 3 meter.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Do you think about doing club?
Yeah.
I
hope I will.
Perfect. Yeah. What would you say is some of your, is your greatest strength?
My greatest strength?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I can go really high. My coach calls me Everest because, like, the height of the mountain
yeah.
is, like, I go really high off the board.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably my greatest strength. And I can flip really fast. Like, there's a certain type of tuck called a rodeo tuck
mm-hmm.
where you, like, pull your leg up to the side so
uh-huh.
you're in a tighter ball. And I don't usually have to do that for, like, the high rotational ones.
Right.
So.
Do you work a lot at it? I mean, do you practice and practice and practice at it?
Yeah.
Do you?
Every
perfect,
day.
Man. You know, you're 15.
Yes.
You're a freshman,
mm-hmm.
And you haven't been diving for long. How does it feel to have some colleges show some interest in you?
It feels great, yeah. I'm really excited about that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And if you had your wish, what college would you like to attend?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking about DU because
okay.
I know they have a really good dive team.
Perfect.
But otherwise, I'm not super sure yet.
Have you not thought that far?
Mm-mm.
No, it's perfect. Just live, bro. You're young, okay? You got a lot of time to think about that. But
yeah.
but it's awesome that they're even thinking of that, you know, thinking of you and looking at you and watching you as a freshman. That's huge. And that doesn't happen to a lot.
Right.
A lot of kids. So take advantage of that, buddy. What do you do to calm your nerves before you dive?
So I go through this little routine. Where I like hold on to the rails and I like take two deep breaths and then I let go of the rails and take another deep breath and then I open my eyes and just go.
Right.
But otherwise, if I'm like standing on the edge, I just like talk to my coach, try not to watch the other divers as they're going.
Right.
Just
right.
like think about like what I have to do on each dive.
And right. And where do you guys, and where, like, do you have a what are they called? Dive meets?
Is dive that, meets,
dive
yeah.
Dive meets. And where are they, where's your next one at?
I think our next one is conference, and
oh, okay.
it's going to be at the Epic Center in Fort Collins, I believe.
Perfect. So, and when is that?
I think it's May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo. Nice.
Yeah.
You got to go eat some Mexican food after you go dive, okay?
I will.
So I also hear that you swing a mean tennis racket as well.
I do.
Perfect, man. And you come from a family of tennis players?
Yes.
Right. And was there any pressure for you to pick up a racket?
Yes, there was. I didn't pick up a racket until actually this year. My dad played all through high school.
Uh-huh.
My sister started playing in high school. And I didn't have a sport to play in the fall. My mom was like, you have to play a sport. Let's go to tennis practice. And I was like, no, I really don't want to. I went to one practice. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to play tennis.
You want to play, yeah. I felt the same way about pickleball. I know it's nowhere near
yeah.
tennis, but I felt the same way about pickleball when I started playing. It's fun.
Pickleball is really fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. Hey, what's it like having your dad part of the coaching staff?
I like it, actually, because
yeah.
he knows me and he can tell me what to do, basically.
Right. And is there a difference with you, like, when you're at practice as dad? You're, like, there's that line, right? I'm a coach now. When I practice, after practice, I'm dad. Is that?
Right. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's kind of mixed because,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know. It still feels like it's my dad, not my coach. But,
right.
But I still am able to listen to him like a coach.
Like
so.
A coach, yeah. And then I think that's it for us dads that have coached our kids. You know, we kind of
right.
have to draw that line. When we're at practice, I'm coach. When we're not, I'm dad. And,
right.
and but we still love you. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect. So here's the $1 million question for you, man. And it isn't about Micah, okay?
Okay.
Diving or tennis?
Definitely diving.
Diving, really?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about diving. Tennis, I'm passionate about, but I would drop it for diving.
Perfect, man. So May 5th, I'm going to have to look at my schedule. I definitely would love to come and watch you dive.
Right.
Everett, thank you very much for taking time out your busy schedule for joining me this morning. I pray continued success for you, my man. And I want you to come back on, okay?
All right. I definitely will.
All right, buddy. Thank you for joining us, man. Right. Thanks to Gould Parts, our great sponsor. Any parts you need, Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado, will find it. Gould Parts is quality source for all Napa parts. Anything you need is one phone number away. Write it down and stick it on the fridge. Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't touch that dial. Next on the Gould Parts Prep Line is Eaton Reds ace Mitch Haythorne. I am Coach Daniel Allman. This is Preps Rewind live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to the Preps Rewind, brought to you by Gould Parts, located in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't forget to text me on the Preps text line, 888-530-0043. Joining us on the Gould Parts Prep Line is Eaton Reds ace, Mitch Haythorne. Compa, how are you this morning?
I'm good, compa. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. Congratulations on a great season so far, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, I know baseball isn't a sprint. There's a lot of ball to play, but I must say that you are playing some good baseball right now, my brother.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been having a lot of fun with everyone on the team so far this year, and we're looking forward to see what we can do in the next coming months. So.
Amen, man. I'm excited to watch. You have some pretty good numbers on the season. Your batting average alone is .405. Your pitching numbers are amazing as well. Your 6-0 record, you've pitched 29 innings. ERA is .024, man. Those are some pretty amazing numbers. 63 airstrikes. Team ERA is .85. Pretty amazing, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely have a good defense behind me as well. If the strikeout isn't there, I feel like I can trust them. And not only, you know, me, I'm not the only part on the pitching staff. Guys like Tate, Lucas, and Garrett, too, are really helping us win a lot of games.
So. I was just going to bring up Lucas Stone because he's really stepped up this year. I've watched him just kind of grow into a player in basketball as well, but he's really stepped up this year.
No doubt. I'm really impressed with what he's been able to do, not only at the plate but on the mound too. He can really spin it and locate it, so it's good to have a guy like that.
It's pretty amazing. You know, success breeds success, and I think everybody's just kind of feeding off everybody's success. It just looks – you look at the numbers team-wise, and you guys are just kind of all feeding off each other. And I don't even think you guys have peaked yet.
Yeah, no. I mean, like you said, everyone is feeding off each other, obviously. Having guys like Walker and Tate on our team being good leaders. And, you know, it just kind of takes a couple guys to get us going. You know, against Strasburg, it was, you know, kind of a closer game until about the fifth inning. But then we jumped on them and scored about 10, 11 runs, and then that was the game. So, you know, it just kind of takes a couple guys to get us going offensively. But, you know, big play here and there really shifts the momentum, and we're able to, like you said, feed off each other. So.
Yeah, that's right. Have you had any pro scouts talk to you?
Yes, I've had a few. I actually was invited to the area code games. I'll have to go try out in June in Arizona, so hopefully I get to make that because that'll be a big next step in recruiting process as far as the draft
How
goes.
Exciting, man. How exciting. I know you're committed to playing baseball at Oklahoma, correct?
Yes, sir.
You're going to be a Sooner. That's my pops' favorite team, man, so I'm pretty happy.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly, when I saw that, man. But there's a strong possibility that you could be playing in the majors one day soon. How do you feel about that? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, no, it's been a dream for mine for a long time, and obviously – you know, nothing's going to be handed to me, but I've thought about it plenty. So I just need to put my head down and keep working as hard as I can.
And I know you will, man. I know. Is there one major league team that you would play for or that you'd like to play for?
I mean, at that point, I'd play for anyone. It doesn't matter. So.
I felt the same way too, man, because somebody said, well, I'd love to play for the Dallas Cowboys, but man, if I was in the league, it wouldn't matter. I'd play for the Broncos.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding, Mike. Just kidding. I know you're only a junior. Thank God for us, because we get the pleasure to watch you perform another year, man. What steps do you take when pressure gets to you?
You know, I just kind of clear my head. I like to just take a deep breath. As far as when I'm on the mound goes, just kind of step off the back, take a deep breath, kind of, you know, I use my hands, rub the ball real good, and just take a deep breath, clear my head, and really focus on executing the next pitch.
Yeah, yep. Do you feel when your arm's getting warmed up or getting tired? Do you kind of feel that?
Yeah, no. I mean, at this point in the season, still just trying to get into shape.
That's what I'm talking about. That's it,
yeah.
Right there, Mitch. You guys aren't even peaking. I mean, you guys are feeding off everybody's energy, and so you don't have to exert a whole lot of energy. But when you do, oh my God. Oh, my God. Watch out.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay, so let's switch gears for a minute to basketball. With the retirement of Coach Grable this season, next season, you're going to be a huge leader on the team. What's your expectation for the returning players?
You know, just kind of as far as our mentality goes, kind of just keep what Coach Grable's preaching. You know, it doesn't matter, get better,
right.
Even though he's not going to be there, and whoever the coach is, we're going to be excited for, and we just got to make sure that we're all in with the coach and all in with each other.
Are you playing basketball? I'm just assuming. I asked you that question. I should have asked you, are you playing basketball next year first? But I threw that one because I assume that you are.
Yes, I got to keep my dad happy somehow.
So. Yes, buddy. I love it, man. What an exciting year coming up in basketball. I enjoyed watching you the last 2 years assisting Coach Grable and Coach Stewart. I pray that I can sit on the bench this next season, whoever comes in, and I want to watch you letting it fly your senior year. That's what I want to do, man. Watching you and Stone, he's not a pebble anymore, but watching you and Stone lead that team would make my heart happy, buddy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We're definitely... most definitely looking forward to it.
Amen, man. Compa, I wish you continued success this season. Thank you for spending some time with us this morning and sharing your story with us. Tell Walker he's it. It's his turn to come on, share his story with us on Preps Rewind. Will you give him that message for me?
Yes, sir. I'll do that for you.
All right, brother. Thank you, my brother. And let's get some more hardware. What do you say?
Yes, sir. I agree. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Coach.
Yes, sir. Again, I want to thank Gould Parts, our great sponsor. Any parts you need, Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado, will find it. Gould Parts is a quality source for all Napa parts. Anything you need is just one phone number away, 970-454-3355. Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. We'll be right back with Northridge assistant coach Carter Williams. I'm Coach Daniel Allman. This is Preps Rewind live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Go Broncos.
Welcome back to Preps Rewind. I am your host, Coach Daniel Allman. He is Micah Kilpatrick, our producer extraordinaire. Joining us live in studio is Coach Carter Williams. Coach, thank you for joining me this morning. Coach, you have an interesting start to your football career, man. In high school, you were in a terrible car accident where you didn't even think you were going to walk again, man. And then... let alone play football, man.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to the show first.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I want go ahead and introduce yourself, and then tell us a little bit about how your football career got started.
Oh, man. Well, I've been playing football since I was little. I mean, my earliest memories are screaming at the TV, yelling at Quincy Carter because he was a terrible quarterback for the Cowboys. My dad was a Cowboys fan, and I just, you know, it's the worst thing he passed down to me. It's the way I describe
the
it.
Worst so. Curse. The worst curse. Yes,
but anyway,
I'm in that mix.
Oh, anyway, I went to, I played my middle school and freshman year high school at university, grew up in Greeley, started 10 games as a freshman at university, transferred to Eaton. My family moved out to Eaton. I come home one day from school at university, and we're driving, you know, 30, 40 minutes to university every day. And my dad tells me, he sits me down and he says, you know, you're going to Eaton. And I said, I'm not going to Eaton, Dad. I kind of laughed. And he looks at me and he says, no, I had breakfast with Coach Mont this morning. and if you want to play college football, you're going to Eaton. And
so,
I mean, it was one of the only times in my childhood where I just blatantly listened to my dad and just didn't question it. And, you know, I was rebelling all the time, and he, you know, I thought he was the stupidest person in the world. But that one time I listened to him, you know, and I just was like, all right, I'm going to Eaton. So I go and, you know, I'm walking through the halls in the first couple of days, and there's Austin Eckler and Trent Sigg and Dalton Shoup, good friends of mine. And played my sophomore year there, had a pretty good season. All-conference honorable mention as a sophomore linebacker. Junior year, driving to work out at the Eaton Country Club. I mowed the golf courses, mowed the mounds out there.
Y'all worked at the Eaton Country Club.
Did,
one way or another.
Wrecked a old Blazer out in a field in a dairy farm. And excuse me. And broke my neck. Broke two vertebrae in my neck. You know, I couldn't feel my legs right away. I went into, got airlifted to Northern Colorado, the NCMC, in Greeley, and, spent, you know, month in the hospital, about 3 months in a neck brace, obviously missed the football season. It was the middle of July when that happened. Missed the football season. That was tough.
This was sophomore year going into junior year.
So I missed my junior year, came back my senior year, really struggled. I was pretty fat and out of shape, and you know, couldn't run for 8 months. And
I remember, but you still have that attitude, like I can do this, I can do this, and you know, it just a little push and a little can do. I mean, you push through a lot.
So I mean, I got to where I was decently effective by the end of my senior year, still wasn't at the the level of the. Wasn't where I wanted to be,
right.
But I knew I could give more, and I knew I had more in me, and so I started. You know, I found a college that believed me and gave me a shot to walk onto the roster and you know, play some scout team my freshman year and play some special teams my sophomore year. It was D3, so it was. I like to call, you know, describe Division III football. We don't have it around here, so not a lot of people know about it. But I like to call Division III football like a. You know, you take your high school football conference that you were in and take the best players from that conference and put them on a team together. And then play another conference.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how it is. And regionally, like Minnesota, you know, you got one team, you know, teams are strategically placed 50, 60, 70 miles away from each other so that they can recruit that little area and bring those kids in. And sometimes there's crossover. You know,
And I looked at some of the games there at Augsburg University. They're pretty amazing, man.
The atmosphere is
pretty hype.
It's fun, man. We're right downtown Minneapolis. We're right across the street from the University of Minnesota Hospital. I can walk across the bridge, and I'm on Frat Row at the University of Minnesota, so you're right there, you know.
Beautiful area,
It was,
buddy.
I mean, and it was sweet because, you know, we had, in my upper-level classes, my junior and senior year, I had four or five kids in it.
Yeah.
But I walk outside, walk across the street, and I'm on the University of Minnesota campus. Yeah. So I got that big campus environment, but, you know, small classes, really intimate academic experience.
Right. Which is perfect, man. And I think that's the best part of your story is that you continued to play after high school. You know, when I met you, you had the neck brace on, and you still came to practice, and you still showed that willingness to learn. And and I think all us coaches saw that, and we saw something special there. You know what I mean? We saw something in you. You kind of defied all odds. And now look at you, man. Now look at what's going on, right? You're making your way through the coaching world, passing your knowledge and love for the game. When did you realize that coaching is what you wanted to do?
Oh, man, I'm probably 8, 9 years old. I mean, ask my mom. She's always said that she knew I was going to be a football coach. She, you know, playing wasn't in my future. And that might have been a thing where she wanted it more because baby boy can get hurt and everything.
Right.
But
of course, yes.
But I mean, I've always had that coaching mindset. I've always wanted to be a coach. I've always looked at football, you know, even from a young age, from the lens of what I would do.
And speaking of mom, I mean, after getting in an accident, I mean, and then you want to go back to playing the dangerous sport. I mean, you know, as a mom, I'm a little bubble wrap, but we ain't going nowhere. So I know what you say. So, I mean. What was your first coaching gig after college?
I hooked up with, you know, I got done with school, moved back here. I had a couple. I actually went to school to be a news reporter or news broadcaster. I wanted to get into sports radio.
Yeah.
I you know, it was kind of a situation where I was not ready to start a career because I just didn't know what to do with myself. You know, football's done. I've been doing this for 16-plus years, and now I don't know what to do. I just want to go home and hang out with my family for the summer and figure it out, you know. Went through that fall, got a job, went through that fall, didn't do any coaching, but then I hooked up with the Northern Colorado Nightmare, went out there and coached special teams for a year and helped out a little bit on defense and a little bit on offense, but mostly coached special teams for a season. And that was more of a thing, you know. I got through the first football season, that first fall, 2018, after after I had played, or 17, excuse me. And in the spring of 2018, I was like, you know, I want to try something coaching. I want to try coaching, see if I like it. Definitely loved it, but realized right away that, you know, that that semi-pro level isn't where I want to be. I want something more competitive with a little higher stakes, you know. And so I reached out to the coaches in the area, Coach Lemon, Coach I can't think of his name at Northridge at the time, Fulton and Renoff and Gary Luster at the time were the kind of coaches in this area. And then Platte Valley's guy, can't think of his name either. Hoffman.
Yeah, Troy.
So I emailed them all. Gary Luster was the one that got back to me. So, you know, I that was beginning of, that was like August of that year of 18. Coached the sub-varsity defense for two seasons and then got promoted to varsity. Coached the varsity DBs during the COVID season. And our defense coordinator was really a he was an administrator at a private school, and it was COVID year, so he was, I mean, he was strung loose. So I basically had to step in and basically be the defense coordinator that year. And then he really couldn't return the next year, just too much going on with his career. So, and then Jeff Priestley, who had gotten hired in that time that I was at Central, promoted me to defense coordinator.
And Jeff had been at Central before and then came back as their head coach, right?
So he went to the state championship, and I think it was 94 or 96,
like
somewhere
that,
in there. He was there until 99 or 2000, spent time at Valley, at Thornton, at Palmer.
Kind of making his circle.
He was, you know, I talked to him, and he'll tell you he was always attracted to tough situations. So he would always take over a program that was struggling and try to make
turn
it better.
It
and he turned them around a couple times, but every program he was at got better.
You know? And that's perfect, man. Hey, would you like to head your own program?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.
I think you got the chops for it. I think, you know, going on that coaching part, I think it's pretty simple. I have a pretty simple coaching philosophy. You want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just one word. Care. Care.
That's good.
That's it. Just care. Sometimes you see coaches get into the coaching world because they just want to teach football, the game. That's fine because the game is fun, right? We played it. The game is fun. But the game, it's much bigger than that. And I'm sure I will see some coaches roll their eyes and, you know, because they believe that they're not the problem. But I have been in this game long enough to see that if you just want to coach football, the game, and nothing else, stay an assistant coach. Know your role, right? Far too many coaches think that they can lead and end up losing kids because the game was much bigger than the lesson. Okay, but if you want to teach the game of football and the life lessons that come with every practice, every game, every conversation, you really want to tap into the players, not only their full potential, but their hidden potential, then you may not see right away, you know, their hidden potential. You may not see that right away.
Absolutely.
Need to be a head coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference.
Someday, maybe. I mean, I've said before, I mean, I'm not putting a timeline on any of that.
Right.
You know, I don't care what my role is.
That's what I mean, is that you're developing those skills to one day be that head coach, because it's not just about the game, right? Because we know that. We know the game, right? We've been in it a long time. So now it's just about developing, for me, in where I've taken my coaching skill, is just developing now that character, because he can play. And if he can't play, I'm going to make sure to tap into that hidden potential. And that's the difference. You know, remember, we're not in a popularity contest with them. I think of myself as an extension of their parents. I mean, I hold them accountable just like their parents would, right? And just like they hold me accountable, I mean, I have to be there to be the best to lead them. You feel me?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's my philosophy right there in a nutshell. And I think, Coach Carter, you got Man, you got me preaching, man. Come on now. You know, trust me, we live the we over me in Titletown. Mm-hmm. I mean, those state championships didn't come by accident. Mm-hmm. And that is what we've tapped into, is their hidden potential. Because yeah. We know it's there.
Yeah. And that kind of legacy that Eaton preaches, I mean, that's been around since I was there.
Right.
Really. I mean, that was instilled in me. You know, I didn't do it. I probably wasn't the greatest example of it when I was in high school, living that we versus me mentality, mm-hmm. but it was instilled
in me. But
you were
learning
that, and I was
though.
Learning it. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. And by the time, you know, when I was a junior in college, I'm running with the twos, and we split the field in half. We play on our game field. Not a lot of space in downtown Minneapolis, mm-hmm. so we just have one field that we play at. Two ice rinks at my school, but one football field. Yeah, So we but we're splitting the field in half, and you know, offense is on one side, defense on the other, and reps are equal. So it's four mm-hmm. plays with the ones, two plays with the twos, and they're running at the same time. Offense, mm-hmm. defense, running at the same time. I'm running with the twos as a junior, trying to make my way up to being a starter. It was within grasp. A freshman came in that was really, really good football player, mm-hmm. but I had a chance to beat him out. You know, we were fighting one and two. I probably didn't have a chance as much as I think I did to beat the kid out.
No,
he was
good.
A good football player, but I thought I had a chance, and I'm running with the twos, and I get asked by our offensive coordinator who recruited me. He says, "Hey, I need you. We don't have any freshman linebackers. I mean, we have one freshman linebacker. We got hardly any sophomores. I need you to run scout." And I'm like, "What do you mean? I'm running with the twos. I can't run scout." He goes, "No, I need you to run for the four against the ones. And then you can come down and run your two against the twos down on defense." And I did that for, 10 weeks, my junior and senior year of college. Because we didn't, it was just we had good recruiting classes, but we didn't bring in good linebackers mm-hmm. those 2 years. And so I'm just bouncing back and forth. And, you know, I didn't play. I mean, I played a lot of special teams, but I didn't play a whole lot of defense.
Right.
But, man, I helped that team win the games that we won.
Right.
And I contributed every day in practice. Yeah. And I was a 3.5 student.
Yeah.
So, you know, I made sure I wasn't an issue for the team because – you know, you've got to find your role within a team. I mean, you can't, not everybody can be throwing touchdown passes.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And, you know, I mean, I played running back until I played with Austin Eckler, and then I was a fullback.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
If I had a bad attitude about that, I would have never gotten on the field on offense, but I played some fullback, you know?
Exactly. You got the block for one of the best running backs in the NFL right
now,
brother.
Yeah.
You know, it must be nice to go from a struggling program to one of the best and one on the rise in the Northridge Grizzlies. Congratulations on the new gig, by the way.
Thank you.
How did you come about that?
I've become pretty good friends with Coach Mark Rogge, who was at West for a long time.
Yes, love Rogge.
He's a great guy.
Love Coach Rogge.
I go to a Bible study at his house. We were doing it weekly. Now it's a monthly thing with him mm-hmm. coaching track over there.
Right.
But he was at Northridge a few years ago, and I've gotten to know Rogge. And again, I mean, I just kind of reached out to coaches in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just throw my name out there, see if they need anything, offer to volunteer, you know, I've been paid for 4 years, but I don't care.
Right.
It's not enough money to really make a huge difference anyway, so I don't care about that.
It's not the purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Coach Rogge got me connected with Coach Hayden. Mm-hmm. We had a couple conversations, met him a couple times, talked some offense, and, you know, just felt like a good fit. And We got it, man.
Northridge coming off probably one of their best seasons to date, going 9-2 overall, going 4-1 in league play. They were upset by Palisade in the first round of the 2022 playoffs. Besides the obvious, a state title, what's your hope for Northridge team next year?
Oh, it's the same thing every year. You know, I just want to see everybody get better and better every day.
Perfect.
You know, I don't care. If you look at my, you know, if you Google my record at Greeley Central during the time that I was coordinating defenses, we gave up 30-40 points a game, and we didn't win very often. I think we won two or three games in that time, but we competed, we got better, we had some kids, we moved some kids onto the next level, the college level, and we, you know, ultimately it was about teaching kids that maybe haven't played football in three or 4 years, some football, and getting them better and getting them confident in themselves.
Right.
You know, so I just want to see, you know, obviously I want to win.
Right.
There's always that. I want to go to the playoffs. I haven't had been able to do that other than my first year with the Nightmare in my coaching career. So I want to see the playoffs. That would be great.
Right.
But ultimately, I mean, I've met the, a few of the running backs that I'm going to be coaching, the upperclassmen kids, and they're just, I mean, they're just good kids.
Right.
And they're, you know, I just want to compete with them.
Do you have any personal goals this year as a coach for yourself?
I mean, in every year when we go in, I try to, you know, focus on something that, in the off season, something the last few years, it's been studying different offenses that I know that I'm going to see multiple times. So last off season at this time, I was really diving in to try to figure out how to stop, Doug Johnson's, jet motion offense that he runs up at Longmont. And, you know, so I was doing a lot of deep dive into jet motion and different things. Now with transitioning to the offensive side of the ball, it's a whole different game. You know, you're looking at it from a whole different lens. There's a lot of crossover with playing and playing safety and linebacker in high school and college. And you know, I played a little bit of fullback in high school, like I talked about, but, you know, just getting to know a new position. So really my goal this year is to learn as much as I can from Jeremy Hayden and, Ryan Burkholder, who's the offensive line coach. Just really good offensive minds. Just absorb that offensive knowledge as much as I can. Spend as much time during mesh and during 7-on-7 with Burke as I can, just listening and getting those offensive line tips and tricks and stuff. Because, you know, one day, like you said, I want to be a head coach one day. I got to be able to coach the offensive line at some point.
You got to be knowledgeable about both sides of the ball. Absolutely. Defensive line, linebackers, your cornerbacks, secondary, what they're doing, and then your offensive, you know, defense, your quarterback and your running backs and your tight end and your XYZ. You know, you got to worry about what they do and where they're playing. So it does take a lot, and it's fun watching you, dude. It's fun watching you because I've taken that same path, man. I've been on the same path. I wasn't as young as you when I started, but I mean, I've taken that same path and just kind of growing my network and doing what I can to get involved and learning the game. You know, I always talk about, you know, it comes down to one word. Remember, care.
Yeah.
Right? Football will take care of itself. It'll come if you just take care of that. Just keep learning from leaders like Coach Burkholder. Okay? He's got a lot of knowledge in that big nugget. You tell him I said that too. You know, I believe that he has a good concept of we over me. And I believe, Coach Carter, that you have the right stuff and you can lead your own program someday and learn. Follow from good leaders, all right, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, thank you for coming on this morning. I pray continued success on your walk. Coaching isn't a walk or isn't a job, it's a walk. Remember that.
Yes, sir.
Another great show this Saturday morning. Man, God is good. I want to thank Greeley Central Diver, tennis star Everett Mash, Eaton Reds ace Mitch Haythorn, and my good friend Northridge's new assistant football coach Carter Williams. Thank you for coming on and spending time with us on this beautiful Saturday morning. I am off to Welco track meet. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Go out and enjoy this weather. I am Coach Daniel Alamon, walking this earth with purpose to influence, period. This is Preps Rewind live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.